We turn now to our reading from God's Word. We usually read this at communion, as you would know, but I wanted to use it just to reflect on the Lord's sacrifice for us and as we also think about those who have given their lives for our freedom. Paul's letter to the Corinthians then, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, reading from verse 23 down to verse 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we thank God for it. There are times, friends, for all of us when we are called to look back and remember. Sometimes with pleasure, sometimes with pain, in order that we might better understand ourselves and the journey that we have travelled thus far in the lives that we're living, and so that we might be enabled to travel onwards towards the future, which of course always beckons us forward. And as that is true of an individual, it's also true of a community, whether that community be the church or the wider nation. And it's fitting, therefore, in these famous verses from 1 Corinthians 11, that we are called by Paul to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for them and for the world. And we likewise are called to remember the sacrifice that others have made on our behalf, and to do that today. And so it's from these verses from 1 Corinthians 11, I want to just draw our attention briefly to five things that Paul, I think, draws our attention towards and to with regard to the sacrifice of Christ. And he brings God's word of challenge afresh to us, not just as individuals, but also as a community of which we are a part, and we'll be symbolizing that shortly. First of all, he invites us, I would suggest, to remember the sacrifice that was offered. In verses 24 and 25, Jesus offered himself up freely as a sacrifice. He gave himself for others. He was the original volunteer. Jesus knew better than anyone else the enemy that had to be faced and defeated. He knew what his Father's eternal master plan was. And as Jesus himself once said, he came not to do his will, but that of his Father. And so by willingly offering himself as a sacrifice, both for sin and Satan to be defeated, he was fulfilling his Father's will. This is what he was born to do, as we shall be remembering shortly at Christmas time. He was born to die for your sin and for mine, and to defeat the power of Satan, death, and hell. And so it's in these verses Paul reminds us of the incredible reality that Jesus, the very Son of God, offered freely himself for you, for me, for us all. But it is also, as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that also we are called to remember the sacrifice that others made for us as a nation in the past and continue, unbeknown to us, to make in the present in order to secure our future peace and security going forward. But Paul also, I would suggest, invites us to remember the suffering that was endured again in the same verses. Paul reminds us in these verses that conflict, if it's going to be spiritual or physical or political, it will involve by its very nature and essence the endurance of suffering, and sometimes great suffering as well. And Paul illustrates this for us this morning in graphic terms. He makes it clear that Jesus' conflict with sin and Satan was literally a fight to the death. It was a struggle to the death. It was a struggle that would involve him giving up his sacred body for beating and bruising. His precious lifeblood would be poured out unto death. In order for the enemies of sin and Satan that were raged against him to be defeated, Jesus knew fine well what was coming. That's why he wrestled in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, as you would recall. He knew what he was facing, the cup of suffering, as he describes it, but he drank it to its awful, bitter dregs until there was none left for you and for me this morning. He willingly suffered the wounding of his body and the shedding of his blood. You see, friends, for victory to be achieved in war and be replaced then by peace, between those two things, often, usually, always, there is the endurance of suffering. And so it is right that we remember our Lord's suffering as he purchased peace and freedom with us before God. And also it is right that we remember those who are suffering and continue to suffer because of war, whether it be the visible marks of a wounded body or whether it be the hidden scars of the mind as they continue to pay the price for the conflict which they willingly entered into for the sake of others. But Paul goes on thirdly and deeper in his reflection in verse 24, for he refers to the substitution that was made. And Paul tells us, Jesus' sacrifice was deeply personal. He gave himself for you and for me. In other words, Jesus was taking the place that we deserved to be in. In God's eyes, we stood condemned because of our sinful nature. We should have been nailed to that cross on Calvary. We should have suffered for our sin. But instead, Jesus lovingly came and took our place and took our punishment. He became our substitute. And because of that, he who was sinless took our sin, that we who were sinful might become sinless through faith in him. We might escape the punishment that should have been ours and that fell instead upon Jesus. Because of Calvary's great work, we are allowed to go free, because Jesus is our great sin bearer and sinless substitute who takes our place. And so we do not need to experience the agonies of the cross or the pain of eternal separation from God, for Jesus himself has borne these things in our place and for our sake. And it is this in another sense we come to remember today, as we remember those who have taken up arms so that we do not need to. We remember those who, as the poet expressed it, gave their tomorrows for our today. And so what Paul is reminding us of in these verses is the principle of substitution. One who took our punishment. One who stood in our stead and in our place, so that we might escape the pangs and the pains of separation from God, as those also went to war on our behalf, that we might escape the pangs and pains of war and conflict, physically, and in Christ's case for us, spiritual as well. But Paul has more yet to say, because the fourth thing he reminds us of and draws our attention to this morning, verse 25, is the salvation that is sealed. Here is what is accomplished. After the war is done and the battle is concluded and victory has been received, the salvation that has been sealed, Paul tells us through Jesus' sacrifice, man is set free from sin and Satan and the fear of death. He has defeated these things, and that is sealed by Christ's victory on the cross. But would you notice, Paul tells us, how it is sealed? It is sealed by the blood of Christ. The Apostle Peter picks up on this also in his first epistle, that we have been redeemed, he says, not with silver and gold or perishable things, but, he says, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul again is referencing this. The price that had to be paid for peace to be achieved and salvation to be secured. The shedding of blood. And as that was true for Christ spiritually, so too is it true for us today in our increasingly broken, violent and uncertain world. And therefore it's right that we remember this morning those who have literally shed their blood in order that they would seal and purchase our freedom, as they have laid down life and limb on what Abraham Lincoln once described as the altar of liberty and freedom. We remember their sacrifice, but as we do, it points us beyond that to the greatest of all sacrifices that the Lord made for us, that is sealed and secure our salvation in Jesus forever. But finally, Paul concludes his reflection in verse 26. By pointing our thinking forward, he has looked back. He has reflected on the present, but now he invites us to look towards the all-important future to which we march each day, the Saviour who will return. Because Paul concludes his reflection by proclaiming the Lord's death, he says, until he comes. In other words, what he is reminding us of simply this morning is that our act of remembrance will not go on forever. A day is coming, we do not know, but a day is coming when it will finally be brought to an end and will no longer be required. The day is coming, Paul is telling us, when no longer shall we need to remember what Christ has done for us, because he will have come to us and will have made his dwelling among us. But as that is true of Jesus, so too is it also and will be true of you and me. No longer will we need to remember the pain and the sacrifices of the past, the struggles of the present, for as the hymn writer puts it, earth's proud empires will have passed away and will have given way to a new and glorious and eternal kingdom where men are at peace with one another because they are at peace, finally, with God himself. All because of that which we are called afresh to remember this morning, the sacrifice that was offered, the suffering that was endured, the substitution that was made, the salvation that was sealed, and the Saviour whose return we await and one day we know shall come to pass. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us of this morning of the great price that was paid, Lord, to secure our freedom from sin. As we remember the price that was paid to secure our freedom, Lord, from tyranny and oppression. Lord, we ask and pray as we remember these things. And as we remember, Lord, your love and sacrifice for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to respond to that love afresh this morning. Or for the first time if need be, that we would know the reality of the joy of entering into your love, your freedom, your forgiveness, and the new life that you promise and offer to all who would put their trust in you. Hear us as we ask and pray for these things, for we ask them all in Jesus' name. Amen.